Justice for my city. Justice for my city. And I preach this. You may not agree with everything I say, and that's fine. What I want you to do is just follow me and how we're going. And I'm going to give you three criteria when you face injustice in your life on how to deal with it to see the justice of God show up in your life. Somebody say justice. And here's the thing about injustice. We face it every day. But we got to know how to deal with it to see our city have justice. Our cities have justice. I faced it. You faced it. We come from different eras, different backgrounds. And it looks different for all of us, but I believe justice is going to prevail in every situation. Can I be honest with you? My prayer has always been, since I was young, God put me and believers in a place of influence. I believe for every supervisor position, for every CEO, for every employment opportunity, there is a Christian that needs to be in that place that justice can prevail. Don't judge me when I say this, but I always pray this. God, make me as wealthy as you can. Not so I can have the biggest house in the city or drive a nice car, because some of us are not really into all that. But I want to be able to help people, to see people who don't have a shot. I've always talked to Barbara. I said, I want to be able, this is my goal, as a pastor, to one day have a network or something set up where pastors who want to plant and to go into cities that I grew up in, like Shelbyville, smaller cities like that, the quality ministries could be established, because the hardest thing to get started is finances. Vision and vision without finances, they even say marriage without finances is a nuisance. You all right here? I would always think, God, what would happen if we could establish a neighborhood where young couples could have an opportunity to own a house, to get set up financially and have training and all these things to know how to do with things, not even marriages, but even coming out of high school, but it takes finance to do that. I want to see justice happen for everybody. I still have this vivid image in my head of when we would go to the nursing home. I don't know why we would go when I was in high school. And I would see people sitting there and their food would be getting cold because they didn't have family or somebody there in time to come help and feed them. And I thought, man, God, I would love to have the opportunity for people who don't have families to have that interaction relationship with people. But it takes justice to see. Am I doing all right here? To see all of these things happen. I'm going to start with a question. And the answer is going to be obvious, but I'm going to mess with you for a moment just to talk. Are all humans equal? Are all humans equal? Regardless of race, gender, or economic status? We were all created equal, but we don't all have the same equal experience. We're different. I'll give you a classic example. We couldn't be as more different than anybody I'd ever imagined, and we decided to get married. Y'all looking at me strange. Equal, but different. Different experiences. I believe, we can argue later on if we want to, that every human is equal, we're just different. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it basically says this, in Christ there's no slave nor free. People argue over that. That's where we get employers or employees. It's not necessarily someone in bondage. That's how they interpreted that in the Greek when they interpreted the New Testament. Well, there's no male nor female, no bond. Thank God for a good memory. No bond, no free, no Jew, no Greek, no barbarian, all these things. But we're all in Christ, and that's it. We're all one. So we're all created with equal opportunity, but God made us different. No human being, I believe this, is better than another human being. You may be smarter than me. You may be faster than me. You may be better looking than me. You may have went to may drive a faster car, have a bigger house. You may be a different color than me. But no human being is better than me, because how much more human can you get than human? No more human than human. We separate and we look at each other different based off the things we acquire, the things we do, and that's where the separation comes in. And out of that separation is where many times you see injustice. What is injustice? I didn't come up this, but I am quoting this because it's a very good definition. Injustice is this: having the power, the ability, the means, capacity, and capability to make things right for others. Then you choose not to because of gain, because of malice, because of corruption, jealousy, or envy. You have the ability to make stuff right, but you choose not to. Somebody say injustice. There are very examples of injustice. I believe that every human being, because you can't be more human than the next human being, deserves right to health care. And when we look at the United States, but I want to look at a biblical worldview. Continents of Africa, various third world countries. I think America is one of the greatest places to live. Healthcare may be expensive, but you're not going to find better access to what we have here anywhere. You all right here? And I believe that everybody deserves the right to access to healthcare. I used to price facility pricing. That's one of the things that I did for hospitals. And I priced what it costs for an MRI and all these things like that. And you don't realize this. When a person does not have access to preventative care or regular health care, you're going to get it. It just ain't going to be when you need it. You're going to get it in the ER, and you're not going to have insurance to pay for it, and the hospital is going to have to eat that cost. And guess where it does? They don't just eat it and say, bless the Lord. Other things are inflated as a result of that. You're all right here. I believe everybody ought to have access to adequate health care. Not only that, I believe that everybody ought to have access to a great education. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Terrible thing to waste. There are places, and I believe everybody ought to have the opportunity learning. I cut hair. Let me give you a prime example. I told you this. I just cut hair with these clippers. I just cut your hair with these clippers, and I lined them, and I cut them with the same clippers. They probably nicked you up. They got hot in my hand. They burned me, but you still got a haircut. A few years later, I bought some expensive clippers. They didn't get hot in my hand, bro, Chris. They were liners, and he taught me how to line them up. I cut more faster and better with better tools in my hand. I believe that everybody is smart, but if you put the right tools in people's hand, it gives you an advantage to do something further, faster. Justice gives everybody the opportunity to go further. You all right in here? Discrimination happens. Many of you have lived to thank God for a day, and I want a diversity. I would love diversity, but many of you have come through all kinds of things. Discrimination, it happens. Many of it is learned. I remember growing up in a neighborhood, we'd play hide-and-go-seek, and the porch was the base in somebody's house, and there was a family, because I think we were the only black family there. They wouldn't let me go in the yard. The daddy told him, that black kid, he can't come in our yard. So I just ran around. They couldn't catch me, but I couldn't touch base either. But I can't let that experience shape me for the rest of my life. That was an injustice that happened, but justice has to prevail because God saw this day. So injustice, all these things happen, and you guys talk about, we talk about injustice in terms of just race. You go to another country like Africa, a continent like Africa we just went through, they discriminated against each other and they looked the same. So the discrimination is not just about black and white and all these things like that. It is a thing where one human wants to dominate another because humans think we're better than other humans. Not this church. I don't care what person is. I don't care what walk of life. Truth be told, many of us are a paycheck and family away from being on the side with a sign begging for money. Money management. Don't ever think you're better than anybody. Here's the thing. I don't care how long you've been saved either. Old rats love cheese too. You ain't forgot. You just ain't done it in a while. You're all right? I'm not fussing. I'm just saying none of us are better than another. But what is justice? Justice is having the capability, the means, and the willingness to make things right for others in a right way for the just one. You have the opportunity through what you've been given to make things right for others. Do you guys realize when you sing, you're singing justice? You know what music does to people? When music puts you in a place, it can help heal the soul. Music is the medium by which words get inside of you. God gives you ability to melodically communicate a message, and you're making things right for others by singing. Whatever you do on your job, I don't care if you work at Yoplait or you work for the state of Tennessee, you work for a college, you use your influence to make things right for others. That's what justice is. And I'm going to give you three criteria because you're going to face injustice. You're going to face things that are not right. Somebody say some things are not right. But that don't mean you don't have to get not right. You can put down brother man, sister girl. I understand you can champion the cause, but watch this. You got to do things in a just way to see the just results of God. And I'm going to give you three criteria by which God wants to establish justice in the earth. The first thing is this. It's called equity. I know it's a lot on the screen, but just follow me here. Psalms 9 and 7 says, but the Lord abides forever. He establishes his throne for judgment. He will judge the earth in righteousness and execute judgment for the peoples with equity. God's justice, his equity, it's something that he decided before a situation ever happened. It's pre-situational. It's predetermined behavior that is adhered to in certain situations. Follow me here. Equity is a set of standards of how everyone should be treated. This may not mean equal treatment in every situation. Treatment may be different based off the various needs, rights, obligations, and opportunities. But equity will be established. Here's what I love about God's equity. Y'all follow me here. God does nothing in the moment. He's a provider. The word provider, pro, P-R-O, is before. The V-I-D-E, vide, is where you get the word see. So God before saw everything that you'll ever need because he is a provider. You guys are dealing with money management, all these things here. You're thinking now about when my kids go to college. Why? Because you are a provider. God before saw everything that you'll ever need because he's a God of equity. I'm going to show you in scripture. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning, other words, forgiveness has to be available for you to take it. He didn't just come up with it in the moment. He said, I sent my son Jesus. I made forgiveness available. And if you confess, take forgiveness. He already provided for it. You don't believe me. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, no temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. How many of y'all walked in that front door when you got here? How many of y'all walked in the side door? How many of you made the door when you got here? The door was already here for you to exit and for you to enter. There is no situation that God will ever allow you to be in that he has not provided an entrance and an exit so that you can stand up under the pressure. Why? Because God does nothing in the moment. He's a God of equity. When you are a person of equity, you've already decided. They may call me out my name. They may try to pull me out of character. But this is what I stand for. This is what I believe. I'm going to see justice established. Am I making sense in here? Here's what I don't like this about God, but it's true. He's a God of equity. He's not fair. He's not. He's just. He's not fair. If God was fair, I would have been 6'4". If God was fair, my hairline would still be here. And when my hairline was here, I would have had good hair that was curly and just sit on the top of my head. If God was fair, I would have had a 40-inch vertical. If God was fair, I would have had a pure jumper. If God was fair, I'd be in the NBA on the tail end of my career. But he's not fair. He's just. What do I mean by that? He gives me what I need to accomplish my purpose. And some of us ought to be glad that God didn't give you what you wanted. He gave you what you needed. Because you couldn't see what you needed right now. You just knew what you wanted, but God said, I before see everything that you'll ever need. Can I talk about, we talk about the sense of fairness in the earth, in equity. Equity is not equality. Look at these guys on the thing here. Equality says that everybody gets the same thing. But if everybody gets the same thing, everybody will not have the same opportunity. Equity says you may need a little more than this one. The whole debate, we debate about it in the United States. We debate about it in terms of helping people. And I think we have the wrong focus. The focus for more people, check your focus, is the prop. Why did he get two crates and I didn't get none? The focus should never be the prop. The focus should be the fence so that you can see. And when you can see, whatever you do with that opportunity, it's on you. But God's going to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to see. Y'all right in here? So when you check your focus, God may have to do more for some. Because for some of you, you came from a great home and your mom and daddy make sure you had food at night. They make sure that you went to bed at a certain time. Make sure that you had your homework done. But you had somebody else who parents didn't care what time they came in. Mama worked third shift and they got themselves up for school. Fixed food for their brothers and sisters. They need a little more push than what you needed. So God said, I'm going to make sure you're going to get what you need to make sure that you can set it right for generations to come. He's not fair. He's just. Equity. Making sense? All right. Criteria number two. Catch my breath. It's righteousness. Let me finish in a minute. He said, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him also, and he shall bring it to pass. What's it? The way that he has for you. Verse 6 says, he shall bring it forth. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Anybody ever seen the sun rise? One of the most beautiful scenes you'll ever see is when you see, particularly if you're like by an ocean or something, by water, and you see the sun come up. That's what your justice is going to look like in your situation. God's going to cause it to arise. Anybody ever been in pitch black and you could not see and finally somebody hit a light? That's what your righteousness is going to come forth as. It's going to be that light in the middle of darkness. Righteousness is the process by which God puts things in right standing. Righteousness is God's pathway for justice. Righteousness is a process free of the desire for revenge. I get no shout, no amen. Righteousness has more, because I'm talking about injustice. And when you have been done wrong, revenge is on my your mind. Till you do right by me. Righteousness, watch this, has to do with alignment with God's plan so redemption can take place. Anybody ever got your tires aligned? The majority of the conversation was not about unless you had something internal that needs to be fixed. This guy told me once, he said, I kept buying tires. He said, you're going to keep buying them until you get your alignment right because it was off and it kept blowing tires. We discussed something internal. Whenever you go to the car place, they're not asking you what did you hit, what the road condition was. They're looking at the alignment. Justice is not necessarily concerned with why you got in the position that you're in. Justice is concerned with redemption. It's making sure that everything is aligned so that you can do what it is that you're called to do. Your chief concern is getting back in alignment with God's will and God's plan for your right. And in the event of injustice, watch this, it's very easy to allow your passion to get you out of the place of your purpose. Anger is good. Keep it. But cry on your way to justice. You all right in here? I think being disgruntled, frustration is good. But use that frustration to come up with a great idea on how we're going to solve this situation. When you deal in righteousness, you got to have clean hands. Everybody do your hands like this. And a pure heart. If your hands are dirty, justice will be polluted. You all right in here? So you got to ask God, deal with my, y'all looking at me right now, but there have been some situations where I had to say, God, you got to deal with my heart. And I was praying, Jesus, be a fence. No, not around me, around my neighbor. Because if you're not a fence around my neighbor, I'm going to find them. I'm serious, God. If you don't be a fence around people around me, you need to protect them from me. Because you know, y'all looking at me strange here, but I'm telling the truth. But righteousness, watch this, sees generations to come down the road. Righteousness is the reason the generational curses are broken. Righteousness is the reason that unity happens. Because here's what righteousness does. Your salvation puts you in right standing with God. Here's what I love about God. You can be upset with me all day long, but God does not forgive me based on how you feel about me. You can bring up my past all day long, And God does not save me based on what you feel about my past. Matter of fact, bring up my past all you want to. And I'm going to have a testimony service and give you a mic. And I'm going to say, tell him. Tell him of his goodness. Because everything you tell is a testimony of where God can bring somebody from. You're all right in here. Even the ones you hurt while you were getting it together cannot hold back your salvation. That's easy to say, but when you've been on the other end, you watching somebody rejoice that did you wrong. You watching somebody rejoice that you know didn't do right. And you watching somebody being blessed and you saying, God, how are you blessing them when they got all this injustice? Here's the question I want to ask you. When did you become God? When did you start determining when somebody's trial starts and when it stops? When did you start determining how long somebody should pay? Truth be told, you are a lawyer for your mistakes and a judge for somebody else's. That does not mean that you change the standard. We shouted on this, but here's the thing about it. The standard never gets lowered. Watch this. The youngest guy on there, on this screen, they did not lower the fence so that person could see. This is what grace does. Elevates you to the standard of God. You're worried about God. You're blessing them. When God blesses the person, he doesn't leave them where they are. He takes them up to where they're supposed to be. And it breaks generational curses for generations to come because God puts you in right standing. Hopefully you've never had the experience of this, driving up to your house. And you hit the garage door opener and nothing happens. Not because something's wrong with your garage door opener, but because the power bill ain't been paid. What righteousness does, it restores power and causes what's supposed to function right in the name of Jesus. The last criteria, give me a few minutes and I'll be through. It's called deductive truth. Truth welcomes interrogation, and many of us get offended when people question us. When somebody questions or challenges what you believe, you are, what do you mean? You got to be able to separate somebody questioning you from questioning a thought. I love healthy debate. I mean, I don't want to sit there and argue and fuss with you all day long, but, man, it ain't fun to just talk to somebody and agree with you all day long. You all right here? Somebody, they think the same way you. Your body don't even agree with it, like that. Look how crazy this looks. It functions because there's always some friction going on. There's always something different going on. And you're upset because all we do is argue in my house. Now, the difference between arguing, calling each other out of your name, and coming to a truth. You're not going to see eye to eye. You all right in here? And there's nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, can I challenge some of you in here? Quit agreeing with everything. You're just in there and then tell everybody you don't like it after. No. That doesn't make sense to me. Help me make that make sense. In church, and some of y'all, how many of y'all grew up in church? And none of y'all ever, why are we in here all day? Nothing wrong, y'all didn't grow up there. I'm not saying to be disrespectful, but your disagreement could be the breeding ground for something new happening. That doesn't make sense to me. And it could be that it doesn't make sense, or it could be that you don't understand, but you'll never know until you speak up. Truth is interrogated. Proverbs 18 and 17. I want to challenge all of you in here, particularly those of you who God gives great influence. Hear me with everything you got in me. Take this scripture to heart, because people will use your influence, which they should in some instances, sometimes to fight battles that they can't fight, that don't need to be fought. And if you go off emotion, you'll be fighting a battle that you need to stay out of, because you're putting your name and your reputation on the line. And many times, watch it, you cannot make a complete decision with incomplete data. Proverbs 18, 17 says, the first to plead a case, his case seems right until another comes and cross-examines him. Everybody's first story is right. Oh, my God, you hear this horrible. I can't believe this person is so horrible. But you never talk to the other person. You're making a decision. You don't like somebody based off what you heard. And now watch this. What you hear shapes the way you see them. And now you start picking apart their behavior to align with what you think. Truth don't work that way. Truth don't care if you agree with it or not. Truth stands. Whenever somebody comes to you, it's very easy. I've had people try to pull me in situations like, man, I'm the only African-American on my job, and they just hold me down and discriminate. I'm like, this is not right. We got to go and fight. But then when you go talk to them, it ain't because you're the only African-American. You got a bad attitude. You get mad every time they ask you to do something. It got nothing to do with your color. You're just not a good worker. You're lazy. You got to figure out, but you'll never do that. Watch this. And the easiest thing to do is to fight a battle because it appeals to your emotions. Y'all ain't shouting on that right there. I'm serious. Tell God to give you the wisdom, because you got to cross-examine some stuff before. So watch this. If you fight a wrong battle, people have you out there looking crazy. And you out there, your neck on the line, fighting. And everybody thinks, no, that ain't right. That ain't the battle you want to fight. You got to cross-examine, and you got to figure out what is the truth to be discovered in this situation. Because the truth in many cases is not what we want to see. It's not what we want to believe. It's what God says, and I got to be able to argue, go back and forth here, and figure out what is the truth in this situation. I love what Etta Holman says when parents come to him about their kids, and the parents already come in, just telling him everything about what their kid said about him. He said, if you're going to believe everything your kid says about me, I'm going to believe everything they say about you. Justice. Equity, righteousness, deductive truth. I argue my point here for a minute. Now, can I give you something to celebrate about when you do it? Well, that was something to celebrate about. But can I give you something that happens when you do justice God's way? Right here in the scripture, Isaiah 33, 5 and 6 says this. The Lord is exalted. He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. Here's what I love about God. He'll be the stability of your times. I don't care what happens to the economy. I don't care what happens to the job market. I don't care what goes on in your emotional life. I don't care what goes on in your life. He's the stability of your time. While everybody else is panicking, not you. When you do justice, he's the stability of your times. He is the abundance of your salvation. How many of you, God, he done gave you more than a second chance? I'm going to set this right here for a moment. You done need a third, fourth, fifth. He is the abundance of your salvation. He's wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Let me give you one more promise, and I'm getting out of here. Psalms 41 and 1 says this. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. You use your means, your ability to make things right for somebody else. Here's what happens. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. Y'all probably never been in trouble. Let me talk to this side right here. Because you made things right, I'm going to talk about, because you made things right for others, God said, I'm going to make things right for you. So whenever trouble happens in my life, God, I am a man of justice. I make things right for others. I may even cause this day of trouble, but I need you to help me out in it. Yeah. Oh, I love that about God. I don't care who created the day of trouble, because some of them, we create our own trouble. He did not discriminate there. He already said it. He provided. And you say, it could be somebody else caused your trouble. You caused your own. You go to God and say, God, you said you'll deliver me. Yeah. Here's what he said. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. I'm not going to be afraid of the arrow by night, nor that that flies by day. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me tell you how good God is. I woke up this morning, and my front door was not even locked, the deadbolt or the top, and we slept all night. Now, I'm going to lock it tonight. But God's watching you even when you don't know you need to be watched. I used to love when they said in the old church, he keeps me from dangers seen and unseen. He blesses me in my going out and my coming in. All day and all night, I got angels watching over me. You praying over the trouble and the plot that you do know. You don't know the stuff the people are doing that you don't know nothing about. But God is keeping you. You're a man of justice. He said, not only will I protect him, but I'm going to keep him alive. You're going to live to see the protection of the Lord. Good God Almighty. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. Anybody want to be called blessed? You call yourself blessed, but people are going to call you blessed. And it says, I will not, that's some shouting stuff right there. I will not give him over to the desire of his enemies, because you do justice. God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I don't care what your enemies want to do to you. They can't touch you in the name of Jesus. This is for every person in this room who is going through sickness or you will face it, because you're a person of justice, because you've helped people. He said this, the Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed, and you'll restore him to health. Your bed's not always going to be a sick bed. He's going to turn your sick bed into a well bed. I don't know if that's a word or not. He's going to restore you, watch this, while you're laying in your sick bed, because you have helped others, because you have done justice. We have a promise from God. I'm going to restore your health. You all right in here? Your enemies can't touch you. I'm going to keep you in your day of trouble. I want to challenge you here. I said all of that to say this. Do what God says do in a situation, and you're going to see his justice show up in every part of your life. Stand to your feet. Somebody say justice. I didn't bore you in here, did I? We thank you that we shall see justice from our city. There are you, those of you in this room. I want to do this. If you're not saved in this room, you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. I want you to just lift your hands. I want to be saved. I want to experience the justice of God. God bless you. Yeah, repeat after me. Father, I thank you for being a God of justice. Before I sinned, you already sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I have redemption. I have forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. Save me. Forgive me. Clean me up. Make me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. I want every person in here at your seat, if you want to be a person that champions justice, you want God to use you to make things right in the earth, you want to see God bless you abundantly, you want to see God give you wisdom on how to fight battles that you say, that ain't right. I was watching Mays Gilliam in Head of State, and one of his speeches, he got in my spirit. He said, that ain't right. You're going to be saying, there's a whole lot of stuff you see stuff that say, that ain't right. And God's going to use you to make it right. If you want to see God use you to make it right, lift your hands. Father, empower us. Give us the means, the capability, and the capacity to make things right for others, for our families, for ourselves. Let us not get swayed to fight injustice in a bad way, but let us fight justice your way through equity, righteousness, and having deductive truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Touch your neighbor and say, you shall see justice. In the name of Jesus. Come on, go find somebody.